Isaiah chapter 58, please. Isaiah chapter 58. Verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as the nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors, or exploit all your laborers. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with a fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health or thine healing shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. You know, there is tremendous variety in the Word of God. And we've been hearing a variety of ministry today. Just for example, the encouragement from Joshua that likely many of us have enjoyed that. It's given a lift to us. And then the very practical ministry we've just heard. Brothers, we all face this. This is not some isolated thing. And that verse in Job, may it be the counsel of our hearts, making a covenant with our eyes. This chapter in Isaiah, you know, if there was encouragement in Joshua and other places that we've been considering today, Isaiah, this chapter for me, hits me like an arrow right here. What's the problem? Well, in verse 1, God is telling Isaiah to, you know, sound forth like a trumpet and show the people of Israel their sins. But yet in verse 2, it sounds like they're okay. I mean, they seek me daily. They delight to know my ways and so on. What's the problem? Well, there was a problem in Isaiah's day. There was a problem when Jesus was here on earth. And there's a problem today. It's a problem of human nature. And it's, we can look good on the outside, go through the externals, and yet our hearts not be toward the Lord. Brother, sister, the Lord wants our hearts. And in Isaiah 58, he uses the example of fasting and the Sabbath down in verse 13. The people were going through these things. They were keeping the externals, but they're missing out on what's really important to God, our hearts, our heart attitude. Listen, in any relationship, those of us that are married, do we want our wives, you know, cooking our meals and maybe doing the laundry, cleaning the house, just because they have to? The Lord Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, in verse 3, the people react and they say, you know, what's the problem here? Lord, we fasted and you don't seem to pay any attention. Maybe they felt their prayers weren't being answered. We've afflicted our soul and you don't take knowledge. You know, there's only one day of the year that the Jews were to fast, and even that's not explicit. The Day of Atonement, it said they were to afflict their souls, and that could involve fasting, but it's not spelled out like that. But what was taking place 700 years after this, when the Pharisees were around in the days of the Lord Jesus? Remember that prayer? The Pharisee went into the temple. He was telling the Lord, I fast twice in the week. Never mind one day a year, twice a week now. But what's the Lord say? At the end of verse 3, he says, on the day of your fast, you find pleasure. You're doing what you want. You're not just trying to please me. And he says, you exact all your labors. You exploit your workers. Verse 4, you fast, but, you know, you're quarreling with people. You're fighting with people. And he says, and to smite with the fist of wickedness, you're hurting people. Now, I don't think this is too remote from us today. I mean, we can come to meetings, and that's proper. I believe we should. The Lord says, forsake not the assemblings of yourselves together. But is it possible that I can come to meeting, maybe even take part, and then when I'm home, act like a beast? Or people that work for me or that I work with? Maybe say things that are hurtful? The Lord is looking for reality. He's not impressed just by the externals. Now, the Pharisees, you know, I mean, fasting twice in the week, they were substituting lack of heart attitude toward the Lord by going beyond the Word of God. They were great at that. Is it wrong to go beyond the Word of God? Absolutely. Is it wrong to come short of it? Absolutely. It seems so difficult for us. Somebody has said we are creatures of extremes. You know, I mean, some things we probably go beyond the Word of God. Other things we come short of it. Just to bow to what it says no more, no less. Well, the end of verse 4, the Lord basically says, you know, fasting like this, like the externals, but without that hard attitude and this behavior that is hurtful to people, you think this is going to cause me to hear your voice? We were hearing about prayer this morning. It was a good word. God hears our prayer. But I'll tell you something that hinders prayer when there isn't reality in our lives. If we're just about externals, going through the what looks good maybe to other people, does the Lord have our hearts? Now, maybe I should have said this at the beginning. What's before me here is pleasing God. What pleases God? What doesn't? Now, I doubt if you'd be here today if you didn't want to please the Lord. We want to please Him. But you know, our hearts are so deceitful. We can think, you know, we can compare ourselves with others and think, well, because I don't do this or I do that, then I'm good with God. Well, I don't know about you, but a chapter like Isaiah 58 is a mirror, all right. And it's not something I particularly like to see. Why? Because I see the Pharisee in me. And as we go down here, there's some difficult things. I don't know just how to respond. I don't know about you. In verses 5, 6, and 7, the Lord tells us what pleases Him. He says in 5, do you think this is what I'm looking for? A day for a man to afflict his soul, to bow down his head as a bulrush, to spread sackcloth and ashes unto him? Here's somebody, and they're just being severe with themselves, punishing themselves. And I know a little bit about this because before I was saved, I was involved in Eastern religions. And the ones that I were involved with, it's a lot about punishing yourself. I'm glad we have Isaiah 53. It talks about the punishment was on the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have to live with discipline, but we don't have to punish ourselves to please God. Verse 6, he says, this is what I'm looking for. Not afflicting yourself, but helping other people that are afflicted, that have burdens. He says, is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands or the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. People that are in bondage to sin and Satan. And I was once there. But you know, there was a time in my life when I came to a farmhouse to work for a lady. I was a hippie, long hair, beard, living in sin, drugs. She was an older woman. Older. I was 25 at the time. She was probably in her 50s, but to me, she was an old lady. Things are relative. That lady could have told me, hit the road, Jack. She could have. But she could see that I had a great need beyond a shave and a haircut. Nothing against beards, by the way. That lady had compassion upon me. She helped to loose the bonds of wickedness that had a hold of me, the heavy burden of sin and guilt. She was kind to me. She fed me. She put up with all my arguing for Eastern religions. And she lived the gospel before me. I often say she wore me down with her kindness. Now, she tried to get me to go to her church. She was with a Baptist. But she was a real believer. I wasn't ready for that. But little by little, she won me to the Lord. I know it was the Spirit of God, but my point is this. Here was a lady. It wasn't just about the externals of religion. She saw somebody that had a great need, and she took the time. And I don't know what the people in her church would have thought about, you know, she was a widow. About this hippie coming and, you know, she'd bring me into her kitchen and give me something to eat after I did the work around her house. She was real. And, you know, I often think, if she wasn't, where would I be today? And it makes me think, are there people that God brings across my life? Am I real? Or am I just going through the motions? Now, verse 6 talks about perhaps helping people with their spiritual need. Verse 7, helping them with their physical needs. He says, he's still talking about what pleases him, to deal your bread to the hungry. Bring the poor that are cast out to your house. When you see the naked, that you cover them. He's talking about the basic necessities of life, food, clothing, and shelter. I'm not sure just what to do about this. Now, in the Chicago area, often when you come to an intersection, sometimes under a overpass or something, there'll be people there with some sign. They want this, they want the other. And, you know, for 3 years, we rented a storefront in downtown, right in the middle of downtown Joliet, to help feed the homeless and preach the gospel. And we learned from that, if we didn't know it before, that just because somebody asks you for something doesn't mean you should give it. I mean, if they want $10, you give it to them and they go out and buy a bottle of wine or some drugs or something. But what do you do when there's somebody there, you know, you're at the stop sign and somebody holds up a sign and a tale of woe and they want this or that or the other? I don't know what to do. I mean, I don't want to give them money because you might just be enabling them. But not to do anything doesn't seem right either. My wife and I were in a certain place not too long ago, and there was a woman there that, to me, had perhaps an answer to this. She says what she does, she prepares these bags of, I don't know, some supplies, there's probably some food, maybe toothpaste, I don't know everything she puts in it, but she has some kind of bag prepared that she keeps in her vehicle, and when one of these people approach her, you know, at a stoplight or something, instead of giving them $2 or something, she'll just give them one of these bags. And there's gospel literature in there too. That sounds like a good workaround to me. How are we doing here? Is this what pleases the Lord? Is it just punishing ourselves by going to meetings? Or are we willing to help others with their spiritual needs? You say, yeah, we try to get the gospel out. Good. But how about this, the physical needs? I feel I don't do too good a job on this, to be honest. But the Lord says in verse 8, you know, if we do what he's saying in verse 6 and 7, he says, your light shall break forth in the morning. You know, sometimes life can be dark. You ever go through times that are dark? Signs of my life when I've hardly known which way's up. But, you know, your darkness will turn to light. There'll be spiritual healing, maybe restoration. But notice the end of verse 8. Your righteousness shall go before thee. Now, I take this to be practical and moral righteousness by good works. Now, we're not talking about salvation here, but does the Lord want good works? And then it says that the glory of the Lord shall follow. It makes me think of the Lord Jesus. We read about the multitudes. They marveled at some of the things he did, some of the miracles, and they glorified God. In Matthew chapter 5, the Lord says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Is the Lord telling us something here? I think a lot of us are burdened. How can we reach people? I was talking to a brother just before the meeting here, you know, about reaching people with the gospel. Is the Lord telling us something here? Some time ago, I was talking with a brother about Isaiah 58, and he said to me, you know, I know it's the Word of God, but I don't know what to do. This is a brother who has a lot of responsibility in an assembly. He's a good brother. He has a family. He has tremendous responsibility at work, and he's just maxed out time-wise. He says, I don't know what to do. I said, I know what you mean. But if the Lord wants us to do something, will he not do it? I guess, first of all, we have to realize there's a problem. But look at verse 9. See, the Lord's saying, you know, if there's reality in their lives, yes, they're the externals, according to the Word of God, but there's that hard attitude out of love for the Lord. He's saying what things are going to happen. Verse 8. Verse 9. Then you shall call and the Lord shall answer. Prayer. Who doesn't want answers to prayer? He says, you shall cry and he shall say, here I am. A sense of the Lord's presence. Can anything equal that? There are times in my life when the Lord has made himself very real to me. And I'm not sure there are very few things in life that can equal that. But then the Lord gives some qualifications. Now, in the midst of all these things that will be the result of pleasing him, some qualifications. He says, I'm in the middle of verse 9, if you take away from the midst of you the yoke, that is, stop oppressing people. Do we do that? Do we give people a hard time? The putting forth of the finger, maybe accusing or condemning people, speaking vanity, maybe slandering. Listen, the flesh is the flesh, whether it's Isaiah's day, the Pharisees in Christ's time, or today. We're capable of these things. Verse 10, if you draw out your soul to the hungry. Now, they were fasting. They were going out food. Lord says, help those that satisfy the afflicted soul. Not so much afflicting yourself, but again, trying to meet the needs of those who are afflicted. And then your light will turn into darkness. But verse 11, and the Lord shall guide you continually. The guidance. The same Lord that guided the Israelites by the pillar cloud and fire. I mean, unmistakable guidance. I'm so glad that the Lord wants to guide you and me. Who doesn't need guidance? The living God, the one who has saved us and brought us to himself, one who is our Father, wants to guide us. And satisfy your soul in drought, and even when times are barren and dry, there'll be satisfaction. Make fat thy bones, he'll strengthen us. You'll be like a watered garden. There'll be fruitfulness, like a spring of water. The Holy Spirit satisfying our needs as well as ministering to others. But let me just touch on the last couple of verses here. Then he mentions about the Sabbath, verse 13. He's basically telling them, yeah, keep the Sabbath, but do it for the right reasons. You know, the Pharisees got after the Lord Jesus and his disciples for, they thought, not keeping the Sabbath. You remember, they were walking through the field of grain and they were just eating some of it. And how many times did they give after the Lord Jesus for healing somebody on Sabbath? They were big on the rules. And, you know, we were speaking about fasting earlier. They got after the Lord Jesus and his disciples. They say, how come you don't fast? He had the externals, but they missed the heart. And what they were missing, the heart attitude toward the Lord. They tried to substitute that by going beyond the Word of God. May the Lord deliver us. But then in verse 14, he says, then shall you delight yourself in the Lord. Brother, sister, this is what the Lord is looking for. He wants us to enjoy him, to love him. Again, the Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Are you enjoying the Lord these days? I say, are you enjoying the Lord these days? The joy of the Lord really is our strength. The Lord wants, it's a relationship. The Lord wants us to enjoy him, to love him, because he loves us. And he says, delight yourself in the Lord, verse 14, I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. He'll bring us to a place of honor. I know the world may despise us and give us the worst place, but sooner or later the Lord will lift us up. And he'll satisfy us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So, I don't know about you, but I've read through Isaiah many times since I've been a believer, but reading it this past time, I just started over again. I read through it, I was studying it, and I wanted to read it again. Verse 58 is hard for me. It's hard for me. Because I think if we're really saved, we want to please the Lord. And the question is, what really pleases him? May the Lord help us to find out, and by his grace, to really do what pleases him.